Last week we looked at a passage in Matthew 11 about Peter's confession or statement of faith, where Jesus asked the question, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's a statement of faith, a theological truth, and that's his identity. And then we reviewed what people think, others, how they water that down and refuse to believe in him. Well, it's not only important to identify who he is, but to know what he does. What is his purpose? What is his occupation? What is his ministry? So this morning we turn to a passage that reveals what he does. What is his role and what is his purpose? It is again in Matthew. It is chapter 11, verses 25 through 30. Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 through 30. And these are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, from him personally, stating what he is about. And it reads like this. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and have revealed them to children. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and he to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavily burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, I thought the best way to approach the content of this passage is to ask the question, why is Jesus thankful? That's the way he starts. I thank you, Father. Now, there's a kindred passage in Luke where the words, he states that he is rejoicing and he is praising, and we want to find out why, so that we can catch the content of this passage. Before we do that, let me state the purpose again. To get the right interpretation, we have to know the purpose. And the purpose of this passage is to reveal who is the Lord of salvation. And that is our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why is Jesus thankful? First of all, because of the divine action of the Father. He's rejoicing about this. And it begins with his identity, the Father. And isn't it interesting, this concept and idea of the Godhead? Three persons in one Godhead. It's beyond us intellectually. We accept it and believe it and rejoice in it because it's biblically true. God is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Jesus never backed away from calling him Father. What a relationship. And so he is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then he says of him, he is Lord of heaven and earth. So he is the reigning, ruling Lord God Almighty, the sovereign one, ruling heaven and earth. That is his identity. Now he speaks of his work. What does he do? Verse 25. You have hidden these things from the wise and learned. He hides truth from certain of his created. And here he calls them the wise and the learned. He hides truth. Amazing to us. Yet it's so biblically true and declared throughout Scripture. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit, neither can he know them because they are spiritually revealed. If you will turn across the page to Matthew 13, we'll see another passage where this is very evident that God is hiding truth from certain of his creation. Matthew 13, verse 10. Jesus has just given the parable of the sower, how the seed fell on poor ground, and some fell on good ground. Verse 10 of 13. The disciples came to him and said, why do you speak to them in parables? He answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled. Hearing you will hear and shall not understand. Seeing you will see and not perceive. For the heart of this people has grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing and their eyes are closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their heart and turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Now that is strong language. That is truth that is foreign to human sentiment. What God does, he hides the truth from some, and then Jesus said he reveals it to others. Blessed are we this morning if we hear biblical truth, and if our eyes are open to spiritual truth. It is the work of the Lord God, and it is not because of anything about us. We live in spiritual death and in total depravity, and because God has chosen us, the Holy Spirit comes to us, opens our eyes, opens our ears, and we know and understand and say the Bible is the Word of God. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We are saved by grace and faith in him. You can't say that and know that unless it has been revealed by God by his grace. And that's really easy to see in life's experience. How that as we talk to some people, that it's like talking to a wall. They don't want to talk about the Lord. They don't want to talk about spiritual things. In fact, Debbie ran across that, was it yesterday, with a person just interested only in the tinsel and the ornaments on the tree, not about the reality. And Faye and I remember an instance in Sacramento where a neighbor lady came over, and we talked to her about the Lord, about the Bible, about truth, and it was just nothing to her. Why? Because God had not revealed it. Why do you believe it? Why are you here? Why are you interested in biblical spiritual truth? It's because of God's grace. It's because He has revealed it to you. It's by His authority. It is by His election. It is the potter's freedom to do that. And we learn that in Romans 9. He will have mercy on whom He will have mercy. And Jesus rejoices. He is thankful because the Father has hidden truth from some and revealed it to others. And then He said, "Even so, Father, for it seemed good in your sight." Our Heavenly Father delights in His work of revealing this great truth like this. It's very amazing that the very thing for which our Lord Jesus Christ is thankful is the thing that brings great anger to human beings. That God does it this way, of hiding to some and revealing to others. That makes the world of unbelievers very angry. That isn't fair. He can't do that. I wouldn't believe in a God who does that. That's very understandable. The thing that is not understandable is that people who claim to be Christians even get angrier. And this is the great controversy. Does God have the freedom to choose and to save whom He pleases? Well, biblically, we believe that is true. Others do not believe this. And this should make us very thankful, along with our Lord Jesus Christ, for what He says the Father is doing. You have hidden these things from the wise. You've revealed them to children. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in your sight. That's why He is thankful, and it ought to bring great thanks to our heart this morning. Now, the second thing for which He is thankful is because of His relationship with the Father. Verse 27. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. The Father knows the Son. Will you please turn to John chapter 5, and we'll read a passage that gives further expression to this relationship. Jesus is thankful because of His relationship to the Father. And while here on earth, very few knew Him or understood Him, and He's so thankful that the Father knows Him. John chapter 5, verse 16. And in John chapter 5, 16, we read, For this reason, the Jews persecuted him and sought to kill him because he had done these things on the Sabbath. Jesus answered them, "My Father has been working till now, and I have been working. Therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but he also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God." Then Jesus answered and said, "Most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son, and shows him all things that he himself does. And he will show him greater works than these that you have made marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will," and so on. The Father loves the Son. The Son honors the Father with love and trust and commitment. I really am thankful for the relationship in the Godhead. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, which is the ideal relationship, the permanent relationship, the right relationship. Here on earth, we don't experience perfect relationship. We have conflicts, we have difficulties, we have disruption of relationship. Here is the one perfect relationship that gives us hope and with which we are united. Why is Jesus thankful? Because of the divine action of the Father and because of his relationship with the Father. This morning, that should cause us to be thankful for our relationship with the Father, because he is our Father. He is our Heavenly Father. He is the ideal Father. He's the perfect Father, which gives us thanks. Now there is a third reason listed in this passage why Jesus is thankful, and it's because of his own divine work. Verse 27. "All things have been delivered to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and he to whom the Son wills to reveal him." Now here is the work and the role and the purpose of our Lord Jesus Christ. He exercises his will. He exercises his authority. He reveals the Father to whom he pleases. He chooses the objects of salvation. Who is he? He is the Lord of salvation. The baby in the manger is the Lord God Almighty, who chooses and reveals the Father. He determines the objects of salvation. This is powerful truth. This is the potter's freedom. He to whom the Son wills. He does not will to reveal the Father to everyone. He is speaking of the elect, those who have been given to him by the Father. And it is by his authority, and it is by his will, that anyone is a Christian or knows the Father. This is his own divine work for which he is thankful. And this ought to bring thanksgiving to us, that he is the Lord of salvation, and it is by the exercise of his will and not any human will. No human can will to be saved. No human can will to be forgiven. No human can will to believe in Christ. No human can will to make a decision to say, Jesus, come into my heart. It must be given by the Lord. Faith follows regeneration. The Holy Spirit applies the work of the cross to the elect, opening the eyes, opening the heart, and then that believer responds by faith to the Lord of salvation. Here are three things for which he is thankful: for the divine action of the Father in hiding this truth from some and revealing it to others. He is thankful for his relationship with the Father. He is thankful because of his own divine work. There is one other reason in this passage for which he is thankful, and that is because of the divine call. Verse 28. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavily burdened, and I will give you rest. What a gracious, marvelous thing that God would care or be concerned about the condition of lost sinners, and come with such a gracious call. Come. What a wonderful word that is. In the Old Testament, under the law, all they heard was stay away. When Moses went up the mountain to receive the law, the word to the Israelites was stay away. And don't touch the mountain or you will die. The law rejects. The law expels. The gospel says, come. What a gracious thing that is. And then he says, come unto me. Not to a philosophy, not to a religion, not to a church, not to any kind of sacrament, not to any kind of activity, but to me. Come unto me. And I am convinced that there are thousands of people attending church this very moment who have failed to see that they have to get through church and through religion to Christ personally. Come unto me personally. And we say, well, what does it mean to come? It means believing. It means trusting. We don't come to him unless it's by faith, unless it's believing in who he is and what he does. We haven't come to him unless we have trusted him with the care of our souls for all eternity. And here is a divine call this morning and this year at Christmas time, which comes through biblical truth. Come unto me. God grant that that will be true for all of us. And just think of the reward or the result. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavily burdened, and I will give you rest. Now, the primary application is to the Jew. The Jew is heavily burdened by the law. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. The details of the law, of washing, and being so careful on the Sabbath day not to do any work. It was just more than a human being could bear. Now then come the Pharisees. And the Pharisees add their own burdens on these Israelites. And that's why Jesus said, you are laboring and you are heavily burdened and your life is filled with care. And Paul says, don't put anything upon these Gentile Christians that are forefathers were not able to bear. Don't put anyone under the law. They need rest. Come unto me, all you who labor heavily, I'll give you rest. Every human being needs rest. Every human being needs peace. And it's a gift. It's a gift. Can't be earned, can't be deserved. I will give you rest. Now this morning, the world is full of, is in a search for peace and rest through entertainment, through psychology, through drugs, through alcohol, whatever means, in a mad long rush for rest, peace. It's a gift, which we all need. We need a rest in our conscience, a rest from the guilt that plagues us, all of us. We need a rest in our mind from the worries and the apprehensions that fill our minds. We need a rest from the heart that is broken by many things, by so many disappointments. How disappointed we are in people. How disappointed we are in ourselves, and our hearts are broken. We need rest in our spirit because we need life. Life in Christ that is abundant. We are hurting, weary people. And this invitation, this call is given to the burdened, to those who are hurting, to those who are weary, to those who are discouraged. We have the message of grace. Jesus is thankful for this divine call. And it is our privilege this morning by the power of the Holy Spirit to respond to His call and to come to Him and find rest. It is also our privilege to carry this message to the world this morning. Our neighbors, our fellow employees, our fellow business partners, our people who need rest and peace. And this is the message we give at this Christmas time, to join with our Lord Jesus Christ in being thankful, in rejoicing because of the divine action of the Father in hiding and revealing. Because of the relationship of the Father and the Son, and because of Christ's own divine work of exercising authority in His will and salvation, and because of this wonderful, wonderful divine call to his elect. God grant that this passage will live in our hearts today and forever. Let us bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for such glorious truth. And our hearts are sad because so many reject this truth and reject your will and your freedom to choose, your freedom to have an elect people, and your freedom to hide and to reveal. But Lord, this morning, our hearts rejoice in the truth of this passage, and we join with our Lord Jesus Christ in being thankful and rejoicing this morning that he is the Lord of our salvation, and rightly so. And we bow in humble worship and with thankful hearts that the Christ who came as a child and became an adult and gave his life for us, how we rejoice. God grant to us that we may have a Christmas season unparalleled because we believe in the truth. Dear Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll visit us just now and impress upon us the importance of this passage of Scripture. Grant that it may be so for Jesus' sake. In his name we pray. Amen.